Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. My friends and foes, welcome back to another episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast. I am your host, the comic book-loving, time-traveling prophet of pop culture, the voice of Diesel Punk, the artist also known as the Bamboozlist, Big Daddy Cool, but you can call me Johnny. And today on the Diesel Punk Podcast, I am going to give you my review of Iron Sky, The Coming Race, and talk about some Indiana Jones news. But before we do that, we have to acknowledge our sponsor, Magic Subscription Box. Magic Subscription Box delivers a magic shop to your mailbox every month for about $30, and you get $50 to $60 worth of magic every month. It's a great way for you to try it out, see what you like, what you don't, to build a professional performance repertoire. I love it. I use the material in it every night at the House of Cards. And you can get 50% off your first month if you go to magicsubscriptionbox.com and use my promo code BDCMagic. That'll get you 50% off. And we've got Eric Fisk watching. Welcome, Eric. Glad you're with us. On this episode, we are going to talk about Iron Sky, The Coming Race. I'm going to talk about some Indiana Jones news and then share with you some Diesel Punk essential movie and reading material. So, Iron Sky, The Coming Race, it dropped last week. It had a one-day-only limited run in theaters around the U.S., but it also dropped on iTunes and Amazon Prime the same day that it hit theaters. So, I went on Amazon Prime and watched it that afternoon. Actually, it hit Amazon Prime and iTunes last Monday. I found out it was on Amazon on Tuesday, this time last week, and sat down and watched it. And I wish I had my iPad with my notes on it. So everything is going to be coming from my head, which is dangerous. Iron Sky, The Coming Race picks up about two generations after the original one. The original one takes place in 2018. And if you remember the story, the Nazis had escaped, the remnant of them had escaped into space to the dark side of the moon, where they rebuilt their munitions, their society, and in 2018, they decide to invade the Earth again to try to conquer it. And they are repelled and defeated by a fictitional president. Sarah Palin, President Sarah Palin. And in the process of doing it, she destroys them with nuclear weapons, but she causes a all-out nuclear winter on Earth. And the human race starts to die off, and so the survivors of the human race escape to space to the dark side of the moon. And that's where we pick up. We pick up with that going on. And on the recording here, I'm going to pause this for a minute. So Iron Sky, The Coming Race starts two generations later. And if you'll remember, in the first movie, the blonde bombshell and the African-American astronaut, they hook up by the end of the movie, and they have a daughter. And their daughter is kind of the unofficial, unrecognized leader of the colony on the dark side of the moon. Because the story goes that, you know, after the nuclear winter created by President Palin, the surviving humans escape to the dark side of the moon. Strange how that happens, huh? So, all right. So, Laura Rossi plays Obi Washington. Obi, as in Obi-Wan. Now, I know because I've interviewed Timo Morensolo from Finland that he is a Star Wars fan. So he named his lead character Obi. And she's beautiful. African-American woman, this short, spiked-up hair, just tough as nails, badass character. And then you had Vladimir Berkalov, or I'm sorry, Berlikov as Sasha, Kit Dale as Malcolm, and Julia Dietz reprises her role as Renata Richter. Stephanie Paul, let's see who, Tom Green is Donald. We have Udo Kier as Adolf Hitler. Oh yeah, he appears. And I'm looking for, you know what? He's not on here. That's, oh, he plays two parts. So Udo Kier plays Wolfgang Kurzfleisch and Adolf Hitler. Anyway, so they escape to the dark side of the moon. And Obi is the Erdstadt leader. And there's this cult of Apple, the cult of Steve. They worship Steve Jobs and Apple devices. And it's very funny, actually. And all of a sudden, Wolfgang, who was in the original movie, who we thought died, shows up. He shows up alive, and, you know, in the two generations, the Nazis and the remaining humans have integrated, and, you know, they've created a new society, but they still have a lot of the aesthetics, Nazi uniforms, machinery, whatnot. But this guy shows up, and Obi's like, I should kill you right now. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he gives her a piece of this amber-colored something or other and says, give this to your mother. Now, her mother by this time is old and frail. She's not the bombshell that we met in the original film because she's aged. We're almost two generations. She's near death. So Obi decides to give it to her and she gets charged up with energy. Years fall away and she goes from being this, you know, 80, 90-year-old woman to maybe mid-50s. And Wolfgang is like, there's more of that where I come from. And it turns out, spoiler alert, that the Nazis who were in Iron Sky 1 are part of a race called the Vril. And if you've studied any of Earth's mythology, you've heard the term Vril before. Some people allude to them being the Nephilim or the Anunnaki. But here they call them the Vril. And he says, oh, by the way, the Earth is hollow. And in the center of the Earth, there's the Vril City. And the Vril City is powered and given life by this energy element. And I think they called the element the Vril. So there was the people, the Vril, and the energy, the Vril. And he says, if you go there and get more of this, get the source and bring it back here, we can save your mom and we can power the human race for all of eternity. And so Obi grabs Sasha and Malcolm and they head in a kind of patched together, almost Millennium Falcon looking spaceship to Earth. They find the entrance, they go down, they find the city. Long story short, it turns out that the Vril are a near immortal race of reptilian humanoids. Wolfgang is one of them. Hitler is one of them. Sarah Palin was one. You had Jesus and Muhammad. It was very sacrilegious, but very funny. And they have this scene in the real capital, in the government building, with all of the historical figures in their semi-humanoid reptilian form sitting at a table like at the Last Supper. Very sacrilegious, but funny. I can take a joke. And, Sarah Palin talks about how easy it was to get, to destroy the human race because they built the weapons to destroy themselves. What idiots. And Hitler's like, well, very good, Madam President, but you left a planet that is uninhabitable except for in the center of the Earth where we are. Way to go. And he kills her. So long story short, too late. Long story short, Obi, Malcolm, and Sasha find the real power source. They steal it. There's a dinosaur chariot chase. Oh yeah, there are dinosaurs in the Hollow Earth. They make it back to their ship. They fly up to the moon. But little do they know that Vril leader Adolf Hitler is on their tail. And they get back up to the planet, and here comes crashing in Adolf Hitler's ship. He breaks through the airlock riding a T-Rex. Adolf Hitler on a T-Rex. There's some fighting. Real Wolfgang gets, he gets toasted. And Obi gives her mother the full goblet of Vril to take, and it transforms her into the beautiful young bombshell, but she's super powered. She's like jacked up, and she takes out Hitler's T-Rex in one kick, and the impact shakes the base apart, and it all comes collapsing down on her and Hitler. She sacrifices her life. Sasha finds a way to take the Vril element. And Sasha takes finds a way to take the Vril element and to patch it into the bigger ship, like the transport ship that brought them to the moon, so that they can have limitless energy on the ship and they escape the moon to go find a new inhabitable planet. And that's the end. Look, the first Iron Sky was, sold as kind of this action adventure. It was really more of a political satire. There's a lot of that in this. There is some, kind of silly, campy stuff. But overall, Iron Sky, The Coming Race, the special effects and the visual effects are far, far, far superior to the original. And the acting is much, much better. Laura Rossi is phenomenal. She's great. Vladimir and Kit Dale, Vladimir Berlikov and Kit Dale, who play Sasha and Malcolm, they're great. I don't think Malcolm was American. I think he was doing an American accent. I think Laura is an American. I just don't think that was put on. Vladimir is Russian, and he has a thick Russian accent. You had to lean in to really understand him sometimes. But the question comes, is the movie Dieselpunk? And I'm going to go ahead and say yes. But it's not one of those movies, like one that we're going to talk about, that you would hand someone and say, this is Dieselpunk. This is one that you have to actually kind of consider the elements and then make your decision. One, does it have the visual aesthetics of the era, the diesel era? Yes. You've got the remnant of the Nazis in their uniforms, the German World War II inspired science fiction tech from the first Iron Sky movie. But this is a couple of generations removed, and it's dystopian, post-apocalyptic. So for you post-apocalyptic Dieselpunk fans, you're going to love this movie. So the universe is collapsing. It's very deteriorated. And the clothing and the fashion reflects that. It's very reminiscent of, you know, the factory where that, you know, the women who went to work building things during World War II would have worn. Obi looks very much like one of those Rosie the Riveter kind of characters. A lot of the characters are reminiscent of the Dust Bowl or the Appalachian era. So you've got those visual aesthetics all happening at the same time from the Diesel era. So it does have the style and aesthetics. Does it have science fiction and fantasy? Hello? If you just heard my plot summary, yes. You know, space travel, super-powered energy in the Vril, Hollow Earth, and dinosaurs? Nazis on dinosaurs? I mean, hello? That's science fiction, fantasy, occult, magic, alt history, all wrapped up in one package. So, one and two, yes. Does it have punk? Obi, the character of Obi, is the original punk. She is the original rebel without a cause. She rejects the status quo. She rejects the rule of the cult of Steve. And she is fighting against an authoritarian tyranny on two fronts. The cult of Steve is tyrannical. They're authoritarian on the space station on the dark side of the moon. But then in the Hollow Earth, you've got the Vril, the Nazi Vril, who are fascist, tyrannical, authoritarian. So she's fighting the battle on both sides. And anytime you have that struggle, a push against the status quo or a push against authoritarianism, you've got punk. So the movie qualifies on all three bases. It's a little bit more serious of a movie, even though it's got campy elements. It's a lot of fun, guys. The special effects are great. The costumes are great. There's very little to find fault in this movie, except some of the more campy moments. It doesn't take itself too seriously, and I like that. I actually like the sequel much better than the original. And I'll watch this one again. I've watched Iron Sky a couple of times, but this one I think I could watch over and over because there's going to be things that you missed the first time around that you'll want to see again. So that was awesome. Awesome. So did you guys hear the news about Indiana Jones? We are getting an Indiana Jones 5. It started filming this week, and it does star Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones. Now, I have mixed feelings about this. I know a lot of people have said they don't want Indiana Jones without Harrison Ford, including Steven Spielberg. However, I don't know that anyone wants to watch an 80-year-old Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones, to me, has always been that kind of character like James Bond that could be played by anyone. The character is bigger than one actor, and I was really behind the idea of Chris Pratt or Bradley Cooper becoming the next Indiana Jones, but that is not going to happen, and we know two things. Indiana Jones 5 stars Harrison Ford, and Indiana Jones 5 has no Shia LaBeouf, no Mutt. That's all we know, but they started filming this week. What do you guys think about an Indiana Jones 5? All right. I want to talk about some essential Dieselpunk books, movies that you need to have in your library. But before we do that, I discovered a cool card game that we'll be reviewing probably on next week's episode called Ringmaster. It is a game where you build your circus with cards, and it comes with this beautiful velvet carrying bag, and we'll just show you some of the artwork on here. Sorry, iTunes folks, that you can't see this, but it's got this beautiful artwork on it. Here, we'll just show you a couple of different ones. Beautiful diesel style artwork. And I'm going to play it this weekend, hopefully, and we'll have a review for you on the show next week. And that brings us to your Diesel Punk Essential Library. Last week, we talked about The Rocketeer and The Rocketeer movie and The Rocketeer comic series from Dave Stevens is absolutely a Diesel Punk essential to have in your library. Another Diesel Punk essential is Batman 1989. This is the Michael Keaton Batman, Jack Nicholson Joker, and we didn't know that this was going to be called Diesel Punk when it was released. Why is it Diesel Punk? Because Tim Burton is a Diesel Punk. You'll remember all of the architecture was this Art Deco, this dark noir film style. All of the technology was retro style. The microphones they used, the cars, the cameras were the, I don't even know what you call those, the shutter box cameras. And the even the technology that Batman used had this sleek Art Deco style on the car. Jack Nicholson, you know, wore a tando hat and a modified zoot suit and waistcoat. Everything about the movie had the visual aesthetics, the deco, the noir of the diesel era. It had science fiction and fantasy in that, you know, it took a right turn or a left turn on history with the mashup of technology. You had some future tech, retro tech, all mashed up. And it had punk in that you had Batman fighting against a corrupt system, and he was the anti-hero. Sometimes you're not fighting against the status quo. Sometimes you're fighting to prevent the establishment of a new status quo. And that's kind of what Batman was all about. He was not about to let criminals run wild in Gotham. He wasn't the authority. He was the hand of vengeance, protecting those who would be terrorized by crime if it were left up to the government and the authority. So if you don't have Batman 1989 by Tim Burton with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson and also Billy Dee Williams, Robert Wall, and you know what? Jack Palance is in it. I had forgotten that. And you know what? Why is her name not on here? Believe it or not, and I can't remember her name. Why is that? Oh, Kim Basinger. Duh. Kim Basinger. So, all-star cast, amazing visual aesthetics, and it is a Diesel Punk classic you should have in your library. Now, switching gears to graphic novels, this is one you've got to have in your essential library. The Tommy Gun Dolls. You guys have heard me talk about the Tommy Gun Dolls for years. Tommy Gun Dolls is written and illustrated by Dan Cooney. And I first learned about this in like 2008, maybe 2009. And when he was just trying to raise money, put the concept out there before the Kickstarter. And I became a huge, huge cheerleader for this concept. And I would post the artwork and articles and whatnot. This book is a story about a group of burlesque performers in San Francisco who moonlight as bank robbers. And it's all in black and white pen and ink illustration, but written and illustrated by Dan Cooney. And it's gorgeous. It's a super fun read. And how is it Diesel Punk? Well, obviously it's got the aesthetics. It's alt history because back in the 1920s during Prohibition, you didn't have burlesque superstars moonlighting as bank robbers. You know, women just weren't, one, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't be allowed to do that. And maybe that's where the punk comes in. They're not allowed to be bank robbers, but they're doing it anyway. And they are fighting against the system. And the whole story is about them trying to vindicate one of the girls who's been framed for murder. So not only are they bank robbers fighting against the system, they're actually literally fighting against the legal system to vindicate their friend and to find out who the real murderer is. It's a ton of fun. It is just a blast. Dan is working on volume 2 right now. So this is volume 1, The Big Knockover. Get it. It belongs in your Diesel Punk Essential Library. The Tommy Gun Dolls. You'll be glad you picked it up. So, that is it for me this week. One last thing before I go. I announced it yesterday and teased it last week, but it's official. We are creating the Decoverse, the very first shared Diesel Punk and Deco Punk universe. A shared universe, and I am going to repackage Tales from the Flipside. I've got the rights back from the publisher. We're going to reload it and add some new stories from you. I want you to come play in the sandbox in the world that I created in Tales from the Flipside. It's now the Decoverse, and we want you to become a contributing author or artist. Eli Cash is doing a comic book story that will be in the new collected anthology. Tony Snipes is going to be a part. I've invited all of our favorite Diesel Punk and Deco Punk writers. Hopefully they'll join us. And it should be a lot of fun. If you've not read Tales from the Flipside, you need to, because that's the Bible. That's the foundation of the world that we're going to use. I'm happy to send you a PDF copy if you don't have it and you need to read it. You can just email me at John Pyka, JohnPyka, at BigDaddyCoolShows.com. I'll post that in the notes. Send me a request to get the Bible. We're not looking for any maximum or minimum length. So however long it takes you to tell a story, if it's 3 pages, if it's 30, it doesn't matter. We're not looking for a specific word count. We're looking for quality and excitement. So we would love for you to join us on the first anthology. I am going to call it what the next volume of my anthology was going to be when it was going to be published by Prose. It is called Advance the Spark, Two-Fisted Diesel Punk and Deco Punk Tales. That's exciting. Send me an email for all of the details, John Pyka at BigDaddyCoolShows.com. And that's it for the Diesel Punk podcast this week. Hope you guys have enjoyed some of my insight and some of my thoughts on what Diesel Punk is, what should be in your essential library. And if you did, send me an email. You already got the address. Or post a comment here on the video or on iTunes. Give us a great review on the audio podcast. Whatever your communication method of choice, get in touch with us. Let us know what you think. And until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.